Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Mario Ritter Jr. and Brian Lynn. Later, we will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Mario Ritter Jr.
Two of the world's largest car makers are joining their businesses so they can move production to electric vehicles more effectively. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles and PSA Peugeot agreed Wednesday on a merger to form the world's fourth largest car manufacturer. Officials say the combined companies will be better able to deal with tighter pollution rules and the development of new driving technologies. The companies said in a joint statement that the new group will be led by PSA's chief executive officer, Carlos Tavares. Fiat Chrysler's chairman, John Elkann, will become head of the board of directors. The combined company, however, lacks one important thing after the merger announcement: a name. Top company officials say the deal is expected to take 12 to 15 months to complete. The combined company will have a yearly revenue of nearly $190 billion. It will produce 8.7 million cars. The company would be smaller than only Germany's Volkswagen, the Renault-Nissan Alliance, and Japan's Toyota. The merger also is expected to save billions of dollars a year, company officials said in a statement. The savings would come from sharing vehicle designs, parts, and technology. Those savings, the companies said, would be invested in products including new energy vehicles, autonomous driving, and connectivity. The companies also said that no factories would be closed under the deal. But officials said cost-cutting would take place. Both Peugeot and Fiat build a lot of small car models, which compete with each other in the European market. Mike Manley, CEO of Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, said that could be an early target of measures to combine efforts and save on costs. Mike Oliver is a professor at the University of Edinburgh Business School. He said it is not clear how the merged company will increase sales. Neither partner has products that can easily be sold under the other's brands in new or existing markets, he said. Oliver also noted that the combined companies are weak in China, the world's largest car market. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles is itself the product of a successful merger between Italy's Fiat and America's Chrysler. The French government rescued PSA Peugeot in 2014 and still owns 12% of the company. PSA Peugeot chief Tavares spoke about the new company's lack of presence in a major market, saying, "We think we should be doing better in China." He said the deal has the support of Chinese partner Dongfeng Motor Corporation, which is expected to have a 4.5% share of the company. Fiat has been looking for an industrial partner to help with the cost of developing electric vehicles. Earlier talks with France's Renault failed because of the French government's concern over Renault's Japanese partner, Nissan. The deal was first announced in October. At the time, it was called an equal merger. PSA Peugeot will have one more seat on the board of directors than Fiat Chrysler. The new company will be based in the Netherlands, while its stock will be traded in Paris, Milan, and New York. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
A cave painting found on an Indonesian island appears to be the earliest known record of storytelling through pictures. A team of Indonesian and Australian researchers say the work dates back nearly 44,000 years. That is several thousand years older than European examples of cave art that appear to tell a story. The painting was found in a limestone cave on the island of Sulawesi in 2017. It shows eight human-like beings hunting six animals. Among the animals are native species such as buffaloes and warty pigs. The researchers say the painting suggests a game drive, a communal hunt. The human-like creatures appear to be carrying ropes and spears. This, the researchers say, shows that the Sulawesi hunters at that time may have attempted to capture live adult pigs and buffaloes. The Indonesian cave painting also provides some of the earliest evidence of human spirituality, said Adam Brum. He is an archaeologist at Australia's Griffith University, which carried out the research. Brum was a co-writer of a report on the study. The report said the eight creatures seen carrying out the hunt have some human-like qualities and some qualities of animals. Researchers call these creatures therianthropes. Brum said that therianthropes appear in stories and myths across cultures. They are seen as gods, spirits, or ancestral beings in many religions worldwide, he added. The Griffith researchers said cave art on Sulawesi was first discovered in the 1950s. At least 242 caves and shelters containing such imagery have been found in the years since. The island was once known as Celebes. Some of the caves have seen damage. This could threaten the art, said Adhi Agus Oktaviana, an Indonesian expert on rock art. He is a Griffith University doctoral student who was involved in the research. He pointed to threats from salt, dust, smoke, and microorganisms. Oktaviana added that it would be a tragedy if these exceptional old artworks should disappear in our own lifetime. but it is happening.
The most popular Google searches in 2019 included cricket competitions, the death of actor Cameron Boyce, and the iPhone 11. Google recently released its yearly ranking of worldwide search terms that had the highest growth compared to the year before. Three of the top 10 searches related to international cricket competition, including India versus South Africa, which was number one. At number four was Bangladesh versus India, while ICC Cricket World Cup came in 10th. Searches about the Copa America soccer competition, which decides the champion of South America, came in at number three. The second highest search on the list was the name Cameron Boyce, a 20-year-old American actor who died in July. The Disney Channel star's death was connected to the disease epilepsy. Apple's release of the iPhone 11 placed fifth in Google's worldwide search rankings. The next three searches were related to American-produced entertainment. The highly successful HBO television series Game of Thrones was the sixth most popular search on Google. Next was the superhero movie Avengers Endgame, followed by the long-awaited film Joker. The other search term to make Google's top 10 list was Notre Dame. It demonstrated great international interest after a fire in April severely damaged the famed Roman Catholic Cathedral in Paris, France. Google also released a video with the rankings. The video centers on the year's searches for different kinds of heroes in entertainment, sports, and news. Throughout history, in times of uncertainty, the video says, the world looks for heroes. The video continues, in 2019, searches for heroes soared. In the United States, the most popular 2019 search term was Disney Plus. Disney Plus is a video streaming service launched last month. It is seen as a direct push by Disney to compete with existing services like Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus. Other top U.S. searches included Hurricane Dorian, Notre Dame Cathedral, and the Women's World Cup Soccer Championship. Americans also searched for information about a gathering near the U.S. military base known as Area 51. Area 51 is known in popular culture as a research center for government studies of creatures from outer space and alien spaceships. Many of the search terms remained common across different parts of the world. For example, it was no surprise that the top searches in Britain involved rugby and cricket. This was also the case in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Australia. The top vacation searches worldwide sought information about Maldives, Mexico, Japan, Bora Bora, and Las Vegas, Nevada. Under the subject Babies, Google reported that Baby Yoda and Baby Shark ranked ahead of Royal Baby, a search for information about the birth of a real baby to Britain's Prince Harry and his American wife, Meghan Markle. In many nations, environmental activist Greta Thunberg topped the search list. In France, searches related to Notre Dame Cathedral were the most popular, followed by news about the country's elections. In Germany, the most popular searches included news about the death of designer Karl Lagerfeld and the European Parliament election. In Canada, a top search question was, "Who should I vote for?" While in South Africa, a top question searched was, "Why were cornflakes invented?" I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. President Abraham Lincoln led the Union of Northern States in 4 years of civil war against the Southern Confederacy. But he did not live to see the end of the war. He did not live to see the nation reunited. He was assassinated in April of 1865. Shep O'Neill and Morris Joyce tell what happened after Lincoln died.
Almost immediately, officials began planning details of the president's funeral. They asked Mrs. Lincoln where she wanted her husband buried. At first, she said Chicago. That was where the Lincolns were going to live after they left the White House. Then she said the Capitol building in Washington. A tomb had been built there for America's first president, George Washington, but it had never been used. Finally, she remembered a country cemetery they had visited. At the time, her husband had said, "When I am gone, lay my remains in some quiet place like this." So Mrs. Lincoln decided that the president's final resting place would be in the quiet, beautiful Oak Ridge Cemetery outside their hometown of Springfield, Illinois.
For several days after Lincoln's assassination, his body lay in the East Room of the White House. The room was open to the public all day. Next, the body was taken to the Capitol building. Again, the public could come to say goodbye. Then the body was put on a special train for the trip back to Illinois. 4 years earlier, President-elect Lincoln had traveled by train from Illinois to Washington. He stopped to make speeches in cities along the way. Now, on this sad return trip, the train stopped at those same cities: Baltimore, Philadelphia, New York, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Chicago.
In every town, people lined the railroad. They stood silently with tears in their eyes as the train moved slowly past. Farmers working in the fields saw the train and dropped to their knees in prayer. For the wise man who had led the Union through 4 years of bloody civil war, Father Abraham, was dead. Churches throughout the country held memorial services. Ministers told their people that God had taken Lincoln because the president had completed the job God had given him. He had brought peace to the Union and freedom to all men.
The final service was at the cemetery outside Springfield. It ended with the words from Lincoln's second inaugural speech. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in. Let us heal the nation's wounds. Let us do all possible to get and keep a just and lasting peace among ourselves and with all nations.
While the nation mourned Lincoln's death, federal officials investigated his assassination. The man who had shot Lincoln in Ford's Theater was an actor, John Wilkes Booth. He had fled the theater after the murder. The government offered a reward of $100,000 to anyone who captured Booth and his helpers. The investigation produced the names of several people who were friends of Booth. One was John Surratt. Like Booth, he supported the Southern Confederacy during the Civil War. Another was David Harold, a young man who worked in a store in Washington. Others were George Atzerodt, Louis Payne, Sam Arnold, and Michael O'Loughlin. Most of these men had stayed at a house owned by John Surratt's mother, Mary.
One by one, in the days following Lincoln's death, these people were arrested. Anyone else who might have had a part in the plot was seized. Soon, hundreds of suspects were being held in jails in and around Washington. At the end of a week, only two of the plotters were still free, David Harold and John Wilkes Booth. Booth broke his leg when he jumped from the presidential box to the stage at Ford's Theater. A few hours later, he and Harold stopped at the home of a Dr. Samuel Mudd. They reportedly gave the doctor false names. They asked him to fix Booth's broken leg. Dr. Mudd agreed, and he let the two men sleep at his home. Federal troops chasing the assassins arrested the doctor. They accused him of being part of the plot.
John Wilkes Booth and David Harold ran and hid for 6 days. They crossed the Potomac River from Maryland into Virginia. Finally, 12 days after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, soldiers found the two men. They were hiding in a tobacco barn near the town of Port Royal. Harold agreed to surrender. He came out of the barn with his hands in the air. He shouted again and again that he was innocent. Booth refused to come out. The soldiers set fire to the barn.
The fire forced Booth to move close to the door. The soldiers could see him now. He was aiming a gun at them. The soldiers had been ordered to capture Booth alive. But one of them raised his gun and shot Booth in the neck. The actor fell. Some of the soldiers ran to the burning barn and pulled him out. They carried him to a nearby house. He died 2 hours later.
John Wilkes Booth carried a notebook. He wrote in it every day. On the day Lincoln was killed, he wrote, "For 6 months we had worked to kidnap Lincoln, but with the Confederacy being almost lost, something decisive and great must be done. I struck boldly. Booth described how and why he had shot the president. Our country, Booth wrote, owed all her troubles to him, and God simply made me the instrument of his punishment. Booth's body was returned to Washington. Men who knew him confirmed that it was the body of John Wilkes Booth. The body was buried under the stone floor of the Washington prison. A few years later, his family received permission to move the body to a cemetery in the city of Baltimore.
Evidence showed that only a few people were actually involved in the plot against the president. Most had agreed to work with Booth because they believed he planned to kidnap Lincoln, not kill him. Of the hundreds of persons arrested, only 8 were brought to trial. The Secretary of War decided that they would be tried by a military court. He argued that Lincoln had been commander-in-chief of all military forces and had been murdered during wartime.
The trial began almost 2 months after the assassination. The prisoners seemed in poor condition. All wore heavy chains on their arms and legs, and the men had been forced to wear thick cloths over their heads. Officials said the cloths were necessary to prevent them from talking to each other. The Secretary of War announced that the prisoners could not meet privately with their defense lawyers. They could meet only in the courtroom. Guards could hear everything they said. One of the defense lawyers recognized that the job was hopeless. He said the trial was a contest between the defense lawyers and the whole United States. There was no question, he said, what the military court's decision would be.
The government tried to prove that Lincoln's assassination was a Confederate plot. Witnesses told how Confederate supporters reportedly planned to cause trouble in the North. But none could prove that Confederate President Jefferson Davis, or any other Southern leader, played a part in Booth's plot to kill Lincoln. 400 witnesses appeared. Many of the important ones had been arrested as suspects. They agreed to give evidence if the government dropped the charges against them. For 6 weeks, the court heard evidence against the 8 prisoners. The prisoners themselves could say nothing. They could only listen.
In late June 1865, the trial of Abraham Lincoln's assassins ended. The military officers serving as judges met secretly for 2 days. Then they announced their decision. All 8 prisoners were found guilty. One received a prison sentence of 6 years. 3 were sentenced to life in prison. 4 were sentenced to die. Defense lawyers appealed for mercy. The appeal was rejected. On July 7th, David Herold, Louis Payne, George Atzerodt, and Mary Surratt were hanged for the murder of Abraham Lincoln.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.